I convinced myself that it would go differently over and over and over again, hundreds of times. People always ask me now, like, did you ever like think about quitting? I was like, yeah, every time I lost, but then why didn't you? Because there was another game on next. And so wins would turn into big losses as I would take any amount that I had and just put it into Poker Stars. I was starting to play more of the casino games on the side. I had taken basically more than my net worth out in cash advances on credit cards, maxing them out. And I was walking around with a wad of money that I had never had before in my hand. And I had it loose in my pocket in pants just like this. And I went to grab my phone. When I did, all the money spilled out on the ground. And then I like started laughing to myself. And I was like, might as well just drop the money back on the floor. I'm going to go out there and lose this anyway. It doesn't matter.
In today's video, I share a little bit about my own gambling addiction story. I recorded this at a Right Choice Recovery speakers event that happened pretty recently. But before I do, I have one favor to ask. So many of you continuously watch this channel, but aren't yet subscribed. So do me the favor and hit that subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to do everything in my power to spread awareness about gambling addiction.
Gambling addiction's a weird one. Because for years, I convinced myself that I didn't have a problem because there was always someone that lost more money. That's like the first question that I always get when a media outlet wants to do a report on gambling or someone that's maybe not familiar with gambling and I tell them I have a problem. They're like, oh, well, how much money did you lose? And so for 6 years, I kept telling myself, like, oh, I didn't lose that much. It's not that bad. I'm fine. I can keep going. And in reality, what the problem was the entire time was the behavioral change that I experienced from 18 to 24. So when I was 18, I did daily fantasy sports with my friends. I'm from near Philadelphia, so we love our teams down there. It's pretty much the only thing that we have. We watched every game, whether it was a Wednesday night, our family event would be because the Phillies game started at 7, or if it was a Sunday at 1 when the Eagles kicked off, that's when we met up. So when my friends and I found out about fantasy sports, it was a no-brainer. Now, that one fantasy sports contest with my friends for $5, $10 turned by the end into me taking out my phone, hitting the 100 auto spins section, putting it back in my pocket, putting my headphones in, and just listening to the sound coming in to find out how much that bet had won or lost. I memorized the soundboard for the slot machines that I would play on the casino apps. When I think about how it really progressed, it just kind of felt natural to me, but unnatural, I guess, to the regular gambler, we'll call. As soon as the games would end, 8, 9 o'clock, my friends would go to sleep because high school had us getting up at like 4 or 5 in the morning sometime to get the bus. It's crazy. I would stay up for the West Coast games. That, about a month later, turned into staying up for the games happening in China and the games happening in Japan. And that was regular sports betting with a bookie. From a fun bet to friends to betting on Chinese basketball, 3 months. Then graduated high school. That timeline's crazy to say out loud. Went to college. When I went to college, I found another online sports book called Bovada, and I was gambling. I guess it's called like a gray market one, Dan. Would that be what it's called? So I was on one of those gray market sites, and I was gambling all the money I had, and then I had a line of credit with the bookie, and I was gambling the entire line of credit with him. And for a while, that was fine. One would lose, one would win. It was kind of just floating along. There were some wins along the way as well that kind of convinced me, you can do this. You can be a winner. It'll work out. And then, great time, March Madness 2018. March Madness 2018, something historical happened. For the very first time ever, a 16 seed upset a 1 seed in the first round. University of Maryland, Baltimore County, beat Virginia. Just crushed them. Virginia stunk that year. Whatever. I didn't gamble on that game. I think looking back, the one thing that frustrated me more than losing was not making a bet that I would have won, quote unquote. You know, thinking, oh, I should have known that. That was obvious. It was obvious that for the first time in history, a 16 seed would beat a 1 seed. That's what I thought. The regret of not gambling on that game made me say, oh, well, if they can beat the 16 seed, there's no reason they can't beat the 9 seed. They played Kansas State the next round. I think they lost by 12, 11 or 12. But noting that they had this big upset, I was like, oh, well, they're a lock. I found myself saying that a lot. They're a lock the next round. And I took all the credit that I had with the bookie, and I had put it on them to win, which they, of course, did not. That was the first time my back was against the wall, and I had to use all the money that I had left to try to win it back so that I didn't have to tell my family that I lost money to a bookie. Then it was a Yankees-Nationals preseason baseball game. That's the one that did it. Remember, just a year, less than a year before this, I was watching a game that I cared about with my best friends and my family. Now I was betting on preseason baseball. I couldn't name one player on the field. And I was like, oh, well, they must stink, right? They're preseason players. I'll take the under. 22 runs or something like that. Yeah, that would happen a lot over the next couple years. That was the first time that I finally said, I don't have any credit. I don't have any money to pay this off. And I had to tell my family, I made a mistake. I gambled too much. They bailed me out. I spent the next 3 months working two jobs in the summer, one as a host at Applebee's, one driving Chinese food, to pay them back. That's what I thought. Oh, that's what they thought, too. Oh, he made a mistake. We bailed him out. He's done. He's a good guy. He'll figure it out. That would happen five more times over the course of the next 5 years following that. And this is debt to the point where I was working two jobs, but the jobs evolved. Those two jobs in the beginning, by the end, it was me working full-time in a financial analyst role, which is surprisingly common in problem gamblers, though it's ironic, and then a bartender role on the side. You would think, right, like having gone through that one, maybe two times, you're like, oh, that's enough. Like, you've got to learn the lesson at this point. It's always going to go this way. Not me. It was always bad luck or one bad decision. Or, you know, that player stunk. It was his fault, and that would never normally happen. I convinced myself that it would go differently over and over and over again, hundreds of times. So people always ask me now, like, did you ever, like, think about quitting? I was like, yeah, every time I lost. But then why didn't you? Because there was another game on next. And I remember I was turning 21. I was 20 years old. And I was like, something in my life has to change. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm tired. I'm fighting with my friends. I'm losing girlfriends. It was just a bad situation because I was actively gambling, actively in addiction, but I didn't know it at the time. And I said, something's got to change. It's probably where I'm at. So first I tried to drop out of college, which my counselors did not let me. I guess they talked me back into it. But I stayed. I picked the first major on the list, which is why I'm an anthropology major now. but I stayed. And then I thought, all right, it must be where I'm at. My physical location must be making me sad. Washington, D.C., it's a terrible place. It's dirty. It's cloudy. I'll go somewhere nice and warm. I'll go to Sydney, Australia. The country with the highest gambling losses per capita in the world by double anyone else, Australia. Now, I didn't know that. But as soon as I found out that Australia was a big gambling scene, I was excited. And when I landed, instead of landing and going to sleep after a 24, 25-hour trek, I went straight to the Star Casino in Sydney and got on the poker table, and I stayed there for 8 hours. That process would repeat itself for the next 2-3 months before COVID happened, and they shipped us all back home. But in that process, February 24th of that year, I turned 21. So when I came back, I signed up for PokerStars, and I started gambling online. And that happened every single day. But what was really bad about that time was I qualified for $11 of unemployment pay. But during COVID, unemployment pay got a stimulus boost. And every week, I got a $600 deposit. And for a 21-year-old with no expenses, living at home with your family, with nothing to do because everything's closed, that's just a bunch of ammo to keep gambling. And so wins would turn into big losses as I would take any amount that I had and just put it into PokerStars. I was starting to play more of the casino games on the side. And then the first sport to come back, does anyone remember what it was? Korean baseball, covered on ESPN at 2 a.m. Stayed up all night betting on Korean baseball until I think the NBA came back to the bubble and then left Korean baseball in the past for a time being. That was my life, right? I would wake up and I would check on bets that I had placed the night before, you know, at 4 a.m, see if that won, then find out that I won or lost. Either way, I was gambling more to either make more or try to win it back. And then that would go through the rest of the day when I would get into poker contests. And then by the night, the Korean baseball would come back on. It was just an endless cycle. And so I got used to waking up feeling a pit of anxiety, either good or bad, like feeling in the morning. But it was always a shock to the system. And even now when I wake up, I check my phone and I think something bad's going to happen. I have this feeling that still follows me because I was so used to living in stress that something must be happening soon. And it was always the case back then, to my own doing. Went back to school, got graduated somehow, all D's, but, you know, during COVID, they did pass-fail, so my GPA says that I did very well in college, because none of those actually counted. And then I got a job, which was the financial analyst role that I had described earlier. I kept gambling, and I had what I would consider one of my bigger wins. At that point, I said, okay, let's take a trip. I always told myself that I gambled to win big, travel the world, do whatever I wanted, be my own boss, like, prove my worth, essentially, through gambling. And I got that win, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go and I'll go to Paris and I'll meet up with this girl that I had met a couple months prior. And so I landed in Paris, and probably about 2 hours later, I was on the toilet in the hotel room spinning slots until I ran out of money, and I had to call my friend and ask him to Venmo me to cover the rest of the trip.
Struggling with an addiction can make you feel like you're all alone, but you don't have to do this by yourself. At Bright Choice Recovery, a family-owned and operated treatment center in New Jersey, we're here for you, and we are dedicated to helping you break free from addiction and reclaim your life. Whether you're struggling with substances or a gambling addiction, this is the spot for you. With personalized care, real support, and a team that truly understands, we're here to walk with you on this journey to recovery. Because recovery is possible, and it all starts with the right choice. Check us out today, because your future is worth fighting for.
Finally, sitting there on the toilet, I asked myself, why did you just do that? For the first time, that's the first time I ever asked myself, why did I do that? And I had no answer. Either before it was to get that big win, to travel the world. Now I had done that, and I was just wasting it away because I was used to doing it. That didn't make sense to me anymore. So I came back, and I started going to Gamblers Anonymous, and I thought that would be it. February 8th, 2022, made my last bet back then. 9 months about goes by, and I start feeling this feeling of, like, I'm sorry for myself. I'm bored. I'm poor. I made a lot of mistakes. This is awful. I have nothing to care about. Because the only thing that I was doing was counting the number of days since I did the thing I loved to do. That's not a fulfilling life in and of itself. And so once I felt sorry enough for myself, I placed a sports bet, and that set off a 12-hour gambling binge. The reason being that I went to withdraw it out of guilt right away. They said you had to wait 24 hours to withdraw the money. So I thought, I'll go to Parks Casino in Pennsylvania. I'll go up to the cage, and I will demand my money. I did that. They said no. So now I was, you know, an hour clean instead of 9 months clean, and I went on that 12-hour gambling binge. There was one thing that happened towards the end that really solidified the fact that I didn't want to keep doing this to myself. I had taken basically more than my net worth out in cash advances on credit cards, maxing them out, and I was walking around with a wad of money that I had never had before in my hand. And I had it loose in my pocket and pants just like this. And I went to grab my phone. And when I did, all the money spilled out on the ground. And I was in the bathroom, and I freaked out. And I went and I picked everything up. And I was looking around to make sure no one had stolen anything. And then I, like, started laughing to myself. And I was like, might as well just drop the money back on the floor. Because I'm going to go out there and lose this anyway. It doesn't matter. By the way, I still went out and lost it. I didn't come to any conclusions right then and there. But I had that thought. And it was that if someone else had picked up the money, they might have a good day. But if I pick up this money, I'm going to lose it anyway. And from that night was my last bet, November the 12th, 2022. I got back into meetings. It wasn't just going back to the meetings that fixed it for me. I realized that there were a few things that were missing the first time around. The first time around, I controlled my own money when I got into recovery. And then whenever I felt tempted, I would spend it compulsively, or I'd go out and drink and spend money at the bar that I didn't actually have. So I was just loose spending, trying to fill this void that I had. So I told my mom, as a 23, 24-year-old guy, I need you to control my bank account, which is a ridiculously hard conversation to have, but one that I'm glad I had, and a horrible feeling afterwards, but one that I'm glad that I had in retrospect. I carried around cash, and I had only the amount of money I needed to pay for bills, cover debts, debt payments, that kind of stuff. The rest of it just went to an account that I couldn't see or touch. I started going to my meetings more regularly. Towards the end, I'd stopped kind of showing up, and that was basically, I think, my own way of kind of distancing myself before I made a decision that I knew was going to be a bad decision, which was going back. It was also then trying to find things to do with my time that mattered. And, of course, self-excluding from the casinos in Pennsylvania as well as New Jersey. When I think about finding something that mattered, I had no idea what to do. I started going to hot yoga, which, if anyone's ever done, it's like 105 degrees in there. I thought that would be my meaning or something. I don't know. But it was a good time. Didn't do it for me, though. I started going to the gym more. Realized that when I would go to the gym in the past, I'd gamble anyway. So I was doing things to fill my time, but I could still be gambling while on top of them based on what I used to do. So I needed something fresh and new. And I had no idea what it was, but about a month after I started going to the meetings again, one guy that was close to my age stopped going. And I gave him a call, and I said, hey, what's going on? Why'd you stop coming to the meetings? Bad situation, went back to gambling to cope with it. I said, listen, man, I have no idea what the answer is at this point, but I know it's not that, because I'm about to clock in for my second shift. This is going to be 80 hours this week that I worked to try to make money back that I lost in 12 hours. You don't want to do that. something that I said, I guess, in that conversation resonated with him. He came back into the group, and from then until now, he's actually been doing well. I believe he just put a down payment on a house, and that, for the first time in a really long time, made me feel like I contributed something. Like I was doing something that meant something to someone that wasn't me, and it wasn't anything to do with money for the first time in a long time. And I said, okay, that was cool. I'll just record myself doing that and put it online, and then that'll be it. That's what I need to do. And so I did that. And then like 7 people watched the video, including myself, my mom, and my girlfriend. And I was like, all right, I'm done, forget it, that wasn't it. And my girlfriend said, hey, you know, I did watch your video and I thought it kind of sucked. And I was like, oh, that, love you too, thank you. She said, no, but it's the right idea. Why don't you make it shorter, make it more energetic, and put it on TikTok? And I was like, TikTok? Like where there's the kids dance? I'm not doing that. She said, just try it. Just give it one try. So I'm in a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I take out my phone. I throw on a little green screen filter of a roulette wheel spinning. And I say, you know, roulette's not actually 50-50. There's a green space in there. Like the most obvious thing. I wake up the next day after I post that video, 1.3 million views. And I'm like, oh my God, do people actually care about what I'm saying? Like maybe I should make another one. And I think that became my new addiction for a time. I was making 6 videos a day for a year and a half, going live every day for about 2 hours. I found a lot of young men and women between the ages of 18 and 25, even younger sometimes, like 16 to 25, really thought that they were the only people on earth that had a gambling problem, which is exactly how I felt. Because everywhere we looked online, we saw people winning. We saw advertisements. We saw good things about gambling, quote unquote, the winners. People would hide their losses and not post them online. So it's quite jarring when I pop up on screen and tell them, hey, I lost a bunch of money, I spent 6 years gambling every single day, and you could be having the exact same problem as me. Leads to some comments that, as Rob and Tina know, maybe aren't so good sometimes. But, you know, calling people out online, being like that first intervention point, that's what's become kind of my new purpose. And it really filled that purpose for me that I was seeking, that along with the rest of my recovery plan has kept me away from gambling since 2022. And, you know, at this point, happy to be doing what I do. I'm able to do it full time, and we're able to reach people every single day across the internet. We just reached 3.7 million people with a video we put out the other day. Don't go looking for it. You won't find it. But it's been a really great experience, and I'm just happy to be here, able to share my story. The hope is always to try to reach someone that's going through the same thing I did in hopes of getting them to realize it faster than I did. Because had someone said something to me, which no one ever did, except maybe my family, and I would always say, oh, they don't know anything. Had someone said something to me, it might have stirred something in me to kind of think about it more earlier on. I never thought about my relationship to gambling until I reached those points where I was doing it so compulsively that it just, I couldn't even justify it. But at this point, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm making a difference with what I do, and that's something that I never felt when I was gambling.
What do you do to work on the fact that, like, your career is based off of social media, It's based off of likes, it's based off of how many people view those videos, but that also, right, can be that obsession of checking every hour and all that. So what would you say to someone in regards to that fine line and how they're able to still have a presence on social media, but it not become addictive to them?
I'm going
to
answer really honestly. I don't know yet. You know, in the beginning, I think it was worse than it is now. By worse than it is now, I mean like I was compulsively checking on the views, the video performances, the comments. When you're trying to get something off the ground, you're on it a lot and you're, you know, obsessing over it. And still to this, I mean, right now, like as soon as we finish, I'm probably going to check how many views I got in the last hour. And it's something that I have to work through. What I'm trying to do is be more mindful of the amount of time that I'm spending on it. And objectively, it feels like a better thing to obsess over than the gambling, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I got this thing called Brick. Like I can lock apps on my phone, and I tap it every night at 9 o'clock now because I found myself up at 1, 2 in the morning refreshing analytics. You know, a lot of people will swipe through a feed of like videos and videos and videos. I'm refreshing analytics. I'm looking at numbers over and over. And it's reminiscent of when I used to bet on like tennis and I couldn't find the game to watch, and I'd get an app called SofaScore and I'd watch and refresh the numbers over and over again. So I think I still have a lot of work to do, in fairness. What I would tell someone is try to be more conscious of what you're doing so that you know what steps you need to take to get better.
Are you able to watch March Madness now without feeling an urge?
Yes, but it's a lot different than it used to be. I used to care about every play. I used to care about every game. Now, I find myself maybe watching the last 30 seconds of games. Maybe. Like, the Maryland had a buzzer beater the other day. My dad went to Maryland. I watched the last minute. But I don't, like, at 7 o'clock now, like, my brain doesn't turn to what basketball games are on. Like, let me find it. Like, if something's really interesting looking, I'll check it out. But what games have really become is more of a background presence now. If I'm hanging out with my friends and there's a Phillies game or an Eagles game on, that'll be on the TV. Do I care about what's happening in the second quarter with 3 minutes 58 seconds left? No. I care about talking to my friend. So back then, when I was gambling, I would have been locked in on the screen. They would have been the afterthought. It's kind of reversed itself, but they don't give me the same kick that they used to.
Regardless of whatever sport's on, it's fueled by gambling advertisements. How do you tune that out and still follow the game?
I have a bit of an interesting perspective on it because I'm looking at it through the marketing lens, and I'm trying to figure out what the commercial's doing to try to trick me into gambling. So given that I've made 4,000 videos now for social media or so, I like kind of know how to break down a commercial or a video and look for different aspects. So when I see those commercials, I kind of look at them from like a very objective lens at this point, and I think, huh, that's how they're trying to get someone to sign up. And then I usually make a video about it, talking about it. But so for me, it's just changed the perspective a little bit.
Do you think there's a way to get back that like childhood love for sports once you've crossed over the, you know, betting aspect of it? Because I was a diehard Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what meant so much to me. And now it's so hard to even watch them, you know, because I crossed that line, you know, betting my whole life on them.
I think so. And the reason that I think so is because as we continue to progress through recovery, we feel differently every single day. And I can still look at a Phillies game, for example, and feel positive about it, especially towards the playoffs, and like want to watch it. But I haven't
that, like,
done it.
Childhood feeling that I don't know if anyone understood.
Yeah,
know,
no, I know. Maybe
love for sports that I lost.
Maybe someone that's been in recovery for 20 years would be better equipped to tell you the answer. I would say that I don't have it after 2.5.
I'll give you the short answer. I'm 14 years in, and I found a love for sports as well. Again, I rekindled with sports, but I'm also cognizant. I watch people for what they do, not what they say. So you have two fans fist fighting each other over a loss, yet the guys are downstairs swapping jerseys and hugging. And so at the end of the day, they don't give two shits about it. So if you can separate that, you'll be fine. You can't buy into anything too hard emotionally. You just don't want to get caught in the ups and downs and swings, because all you're doing is replacing the dopamine.